All right, so Psalm 126. So let me give you guys an update about the soul winning. I'm sure you guys have heard. I mean, I did share in the church chat, you know, the numbers as far as who went out there. And, you know, we had 9 people that were traveling from, you know, either Sydney, you know, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, or Adelaide. So then we had 23 in total, though, on the day. So that's, what's 23 takeaway 9? 14, is that right? So we had 14, is that right? That's my math. Sounds right. Sounds right to me. So we had 14 that actually were from Melbourne or surrounding Victorian towns, and it was a great time. It was a great time. Brother M, did you have fun? Did you have fun at the soul winning event in Melbourne? It was beautiful. Brother Callum, did you have fun?
Yeah, I really did.
Yeah, that's it. I had fun.
I feel recharged.
Amen. Yeah, I feel recharged. Yeah, that's a perfect way to describe it. Feeling recharged. I feel recharged as well. And you know, when you look at Psalm 126 and verse number 4, it says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord." So, you know, when we look at this psalm, I don't want you to lose sight of the primary reason the psalm exists. Okay? You know, this psalm is the psalm of David, and he's prophesying of the fact that, you know, the nation will be taken into captivity. You know, they'd be overcome by the enemies from time to time. And, you know, God will come through and deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And, of course, the most famous captivity that we read about in the Bible is of course, when the Jews were taken over by Babylon. And you know, they were taken into captivity for 70 years. And, you know, one of the main reasons why God allowed that to happen is because, you know, the people did not give their land the Sabbath rest, okay? And so God, you know, there were 70 years of Sabbath rest that were missing from the practice of the people. So God took them away for 70 years to give the land a rest. And of course, if the land is being put at rest for 70 years, you've got nobody farming the land. You've got no one growing crops on the land. And so the idea here of this psalm is in verse number 4, it says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord." So, you know, we're asking, you know, he's asking God, "Look, please bring us back to the land. We've been taken captive for too long. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Then it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And so, of course, people coming back to the land and they're planting their seeds and they're growing their crops and there's rejoicing that they're back on the land. You know, the land they were given by God, the land they've inherited. The land that has gone so long without any seeds being planted. And so they go in tears and they reap in joy. And of course, we know that we can take this passage and apply it, of course, to soul winning. And we went to Melbourne and we went soul winning. Amen. We won some souls. There were 13 salvations in Melbourne and one on the way back on the plane there with Brother Callum. Praise God for that. Praise God for the salvations. But the reason I asked these men to have fun is I had fun. You know, and you say, "Pastor, did you want to go to Melbourne?" Not really. Like, I just don't want to go to an airport. I don't even want to look at a plane. Like, I'm so tired of planes. I'm so tired of the airport. You know, I'm so tired being away from my family, you know. And sometimes, you know, you don't have the motivation to do things like that. But you know what? We see that there's a great joy. There's a great joy in sowing seeds. There's a great joy in seeing people saved. And as I said there in verse number 5, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And there was joy. I'm so happy. I'm still happy. I'm still happy. I'm still energized. Brother M, you're happy. Brother Callum, you're happy. And you know what? Soul winning has a way of making you joyful. The title for the sermon tonight is The Joy of Soul Winning. The Joy of Soul Winning. And of course, when we talk about soul winning, of course, the first joy that we're looking at here is the joy of the soul winner. Right, the joy of the soul winner. But I want you to notice here, when it comes to reaping, of course, we're talking about reaping the souls here, not talking about reaping fruits and veggies like they, in the, you know, the main priority of that psalm there. Of course, we need to understand that even though there's joy at the end of it, when you see someone call upon the Lord, and there is great joy when that happens, it's also wise that you sow in tears. You know, one reason that will get you out preaching the gospel, not necessarily in Melbourne, but hey, just around the community here. We don't need everyone in Melbourne. There are soul winners in Melbourne. Hey, we need soul winners on the Sunshine Coast. But one thing that's going to drive you in that soul winning is to have a tear in your eye, right? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, I kind of get the idea here is that, you know, have you ever been excited about, you know, maybe there's a day and you're going out with the family or, you know, you got some plans and you're kind of excited about the day because this is going to be a great day. But by the end of the day, it was kind of a disappointing day. It's like, you know, it didn't work out exactly how you would like. You know, in fact, the soul winning almost didn't happen. You know, at 3 a.m. on Friday morning, my flights were cancelled from Sydney. my flight and three others, and I had to quickly contact Virgin and get some new flights. And when we got to the airport, Jetstar was like completely empty, and then Virgin was just full of people trying to rebook flights. So it looks like Jetstar had some major cancellations on that day, and so it can be frustrating, okay? But have you ever been like so excited about certain days and it just didn't turn out the way you expected? And it kind of puts you in a bit of a low. You were excited to begin with, and it doesn't really pan out the way you had hoped. One thing that you'll always find joy and excitement is when you are a little bit more burdened. Like when you expect, it's probably not going to be that great. Getting on the plane to Melbourne and trying to coordinate people, and what if no one in Melbourne turns up, right? It's just everyone. You kind of go with a little bit of a, pessimistic view, and then things turn out really awesome. It brings a lot of joy, doesn't it? And so, one thing that you can learn here is that, going and having a tear in your eye, is a good way to start out soul winning. Let's keep going there. Verse number 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth." I was preaching for Blessed Old Baptist Church, and I was preaching again about soul winning. And, I was just thinking about the lack of, desire that some people have to encourage brethren and to get them soul winning. And, I started to tear up. You guys know that sometimes I tear up when I start to preach. And, it's not when I tear up and I struggle to speak, it's not like a show. Like, I'm not here like, oh, look at, Pastor trying to have an emotional moment or something like that. It's just, we see in the Bible that being emotional, when you consider the work that needs to be done, is important, right? I mean, there are several reasons why, we might weep or have sorrow about the work. Let me just finish that verse there. It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," of course the seed when God soul winning is the word of God, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. There's rejoicing. There's rejoicing when you see the fruit of your labor. There's rejoicing when you see a soul saved. But you know what? One sure way to get you out there, soul winning, if this is not your way of life, it's not something that you consider, is you probably need to weep. You probably need to have a bit of a tear in your eye. Look, you need to get a little bit emotional. Soul winning is an emotional work. It is labor. Just like you kind of from, when you talk about just, if someone said to you, "What is soul winning?" You say, "Well, we go in the community, we go knock doors, and we go give the gospel." I think most people think, "Oh, well, that's pretty easy to do." And yeah, I suppose if you just explain that it is easy, but for those of you that go soul winning, you know how laboring it can be, how taxing it can be. There's been times when I've just given the whole gospel to someone and I've compelled them to come in and they've called upon the Lord and I'm just exhausted. I'm just like, and I'm kind of like, man, I'm done, I'm finished. It's like I've just given birth, and really it is giving birth, isn't it? It's giving spiritual birth. Hey, we know that ladies rejoice when a man comes into the world, as the Bible puts it. Well, same thing. There's labor when it comes to preaching the gospel. There's a born-again spirit when someone calls upon the Lord and believes on that wonderful gospel, wonderful good news. There's birth that takes place. It is labor. It is tiring. And so it is an emotional work to do the work. And, what are some reasons that we could, what are some reasons that we could weep about soul winning? Of course, when we take this direct psalm here, they're weeping because they've been in captivity. They're weeping because they've been restricted from being able to win souls and they're able to, so much planting and planting their seeds, but, they've not been able to do it for so long because of their captivity. And, when we had the COVID restrictions, there was a limit of soul winning. I mean, some of you guys went out anyway, praise God for you. But some of you guys were in captivity, And when the restrictions are open, then that should bring some tears that, there's been a while since I've been able to get there out there and preach the gospel and plant those seeds. And, there could be a bit of sorrow because, the work has been left undone for so long. What's another reason why you might weep? You might weep because you come to realize just how few people actually go soul winning. When you think about, there are a lot of people that are saved, I mean, not the majority, but there's a lot of people that are saved. How many of those people actually go to a good church, and grow and learn in Jesus Christ? Very few. And then how many of those that are actually going to church actually preaching the gospel, on a regular basis? It's even less. And sometimes the tears could be just the thought of how few people actually do the work. I became tearful when I was preaching for the Sydney church because I was thinking about, you know, how many brethren there are in Melbourne that, you know, don't have an encouraging church, you know, a church that will send them soul winning. You know, they don't have a pastor that might encourage them and show them how to go soul winning. You know, maybe they've not met other believers that can get them out there and be an encouragement. You know, that brings a tear to my eye as well. Again, the lack of care sometimes we have for our fellow brothers and sisters. Of course, we might weep about the souls that are lost and thinking about eternity in hell. And, you know, that's another reason why, you know, that you might be weeping, thinking about, you know, the lost souls. Jesus Christ died for these people. And if they don't get to hear the gospel, if they don't get a chance to believe, then, well, everyone's got a chance to believe. But, you know, if I'm not out there, if I'm not being used, then, you know, it might be very well that these souls go to hell, and that might bring a tear to your eyes. It might be just you going out there and just realizing, man, you know, I've really let this part of my Christian life slip, and you feel a little bit, you know, you feel like maybe a little bit, you know, grieved that you haven't done as much as you could for the cause of Christ's kingdom. That might put a tear in your eye. And so, you know, having this emotional feelings, you know, it's not weakness. It's, you know, it's the right attitude to have when you consider the great work that God has given us to do. But when you bring those sheaves with you, when you see a soul saved, there's great joy. There's great joy, isn't there? You know, if you can, you're in Psalm. Please turn to Psalms 71. Psalm 71, verse 22. Psalm 71, verse number 22. You know, when, I don't know about you, but when I go soul winning at least, and I see people call upon the Lord, it reminds me, it just brings back to recollection my salvation and my joy, right? When I think about how happy I am that I'm saved, and I see someone call upon Jesus and the big burdens off their shoulders and they know they're going to heaven, you know, it brings me back to my thoughts about my own salvation. The joy of soul winning, you know, it brings back even the joy in yourself. In Psalm 71, verse 22, Psalm 71, verse 22, it says, I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Look at this. And my soul, which thou hast redeemed. So, you know, we sing, we come to church, we sing praise. We already sang today. And, you know, when the psalmist is reminded about his soul's redemption, his soul's salvation, he says, even my soul sings out to you, God. Even my soul is rejoicing in the salvation that you've given me. I find it really good to go soul winning because it reminds you that you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You've been redeemed. You know, and it's, I guess, you know, life gets busy and, you know, there are problems and worries in life and, you know, it's easy for our minds to get distracted and forget the joy of our salvation. I find, you know, going soul winning, as I said, this first point is the joy of the soul winner. I just find that it gives me joy, reminding me of my salvation. And so the first point that I have for you, brethren, is the joy of the soul winner. You know, if you're someone that lacks in joy, you say, look, I'm not a very happy person, I'd strongly encourage you, come out soul winning. Come out soul winning. And then you're reminded of how many people are lost and going to hell and how you have salvation, how you have the confidence that if you were to die, you'd be in heaven right now, all your sins forgiven in Jesus Christ. I mean, what is there more to joy about than eternity? You know, you bring back the joy. I'm telling you, if you're missing out in joy, you're sad, you're cast down, you can't find the joy, come soul winning with us. As you see these people, these lost people, not knowing what they have to do to go to heaven, you know, thinking about their lost soul on the way to hell, you know, it reminds you of the great joy that you have within yourself. Please turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. And nothing that I'm preaching tonight is brand new, groundbreaking. You guys know all these things, you know. As Brother Callum said, he felt energized. Yeah, great. Let's, you know, we need to get energized. Sometimes we need to be reminded about the things and get a recharge and just a reminder of the greatness of soul winning. The joy of soul winning. Not only is it a joy for the soul winner, but it is the joy of the converted. It is the joy of the converted. You know, I only saw one salvation over the 2 days, Thursday and Friday. It was a six-year-old boy. Six-year-old Somali boy. I think it was Somali. Okay. I mean, it was a bit difficult to talk to the mother. I knocked on the door, spoke to the lady. Her English was limited. And so she called her six-year-old son to come and translate for her. And I thought he was doing a good job translating. And then I realized this is taking a very long time. you know? And I asked the lady for the boy, you know, maybe I can just explain the gospel to the boy and then he can explain it to mum, you know? So she was okay with that, gave him the gospel. She was listening. I think she could understand what I'm saying, but, you know, speaking English was the hard part for her. So anyway, gave the boy salvation speak, looking at the mum, trying to preach to both of them at the same time. And then I asked the lady, you know, and, you know, I asked her the questions at the end, you know, if she understood the gospel, and she gave me the right answers. You know, with the limited English that she had, she gave me the right answers, and I invited her to call upon the Lord. She didn't want to. Her husband wasn't home. She said, look, my husband comes in the afternoon. You know, can you talk to him? Afternoon, we'll be flying back home, you know, so it's not doable. But I just said, look, that's right. I didn't say that. It was a little boy. He said, Mom, but I want to call upon Jesus. I want to call upon Jesus, right? And like he had a big smile on his face. You say, Pastor, is a six-year-old too young to know? No, most of my children got saved at six-year-olds. And don't forget, in order to be converted, in order to be saved, we must become like little children. Okay, we must have the faith of children. Hey, this little boy heard it. He was excited. He wanted to know he's going to heaven. And so I checked with him and I said, right, you know, so, well, what do you have to do to be saved? He says, believe in Jesus. Big smile on his face. So I led him in a word of prayer. And he was so happy. He was rejoicing. Okay? The joy of the converted. And look, sometimes people call upon the Lord and they're not going to be, woohoo, excited about it, right? But there is joy. Even if you don't see it outwardly, there's a joy inwardly. There's a joy inwardly. That the burden has been lifted off the shoulders. They know now what the Bible teaches. They understand finally what it meant for Christ to come to this earth. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse number 37, of course, famous story of Philip the evangelist who preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So Philip disappears, okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then it says this, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. The joy of soul winning. It's not just the joy of the soul winner. It's the joy of the converted. Amen. You know, this eunuch has finally understood what Christ has done. Understood that it was Christ that was written there in the book of Isaiah that would suffer for him. He believed on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he went away rejoicing. Rejoicing. There's a lot of joy in soul winning. And that's the joy of other people knowing that they're going to heaven. I mean, think about the time when you got saved. I'm sure you were happy, rejoicing. Finally, I know, I understand that, I get it. Some of you guys are so zealous, so excited, so happy that you've got that impression in your mind at the very beginning. Surely everybody wants to know this. Surely all my family and friends want to know this great truth. Surely as soon as I tell them, they're going to be excited. Wow, you found out. Thanks for sharing it with me. And then you find out as you go and tell them, they get offended. Hey, but again, what's that zeal, that excitement, that joy that you received the moment you believed on Christ? The joy of the converted. You're there in the book of Acts. Please come with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse number 30. Acts 16 and verse number 30. And of course, the famous story of the Philippian jailer who got saved. But more so than that, I just want to show you here in Acts 16, verse 30. The Bible reads, and brought them out and said, you guys know this passage very well, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, and your family. You know, if your family believes on Jesus Christ, they too can be saved. That's a great approach. You know, it's wonderful when you see more than one person. In fact, Brother Callum, didn't you have two sisters? What a joy when you see family getting saved. You know, there's been a few times where I've given the gospel to numerous people inside a house, and you know, usually you target one person, and then there might be various that call upon them, the Lord, and I usually just count the one salvation because it's the one person that I was actually speaking to. But it's beautiful when you see a family wanting to be saved together. Well, this is what happens to the Philippian jailer. It says there in verse number 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. You know, one thing that we need to get better at, and I know, I'm just saying because I need to get better at this, is that when we get the chance to see someone call upon the Lord, believe on Christ, we should ask them, hey, is there anyone else in the house that you believe would like to hear this message? We need to get into that practice, you know. And I don't know why I've never really caught on with that, but it's such a good thing. You know, I've heard great stories where people have asked that question. They're like, of course, I've got so-and-so. You know, please explain it. In fact, no, you know what? I have had those occasions. Just, you know, situation popped in my mind. You know, where the mother got saved and I said, yeah, is there anyone else? Oh, my daughter. She brings out her daughter and doesn't get the gospel to her daughter and she too got saved. But it's a beautiful thing when you see a family have that opportunity. And I encourage you. Again, you know, sometimes, men, we know, whoever's out there, you know, when you get out there, it's kind of exhausting, right? It's like you've just given birth. And maybe that's why we kind of forget. It's because we're kind of tired. We're like, all right, ready to move on to the next house, you know? But, you know, we should ask that question. Do you think there's anyone else? Is there anyone else in the house that needs to hear this good news? Verse number 32. It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway, the whole family, everybody, I guess all servants, everybody that's in the house, all his. Verse number 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Look at this. And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Man, we have an opportunity to see a whole family saved. You know, what a joy. What a joy for the converted. You know, that, yes, I received it. I've believed on Christ. And then they see the rest of the house believe on Christ too. We know these stories. Sometimes we have people in our churches that are saved themselves, but maybe they married a non-believer. Or maybe they were both unsaved and one gets saved and they're praying for their other spouse or their children or, you know, their parents. And we have stories like this. I'm sure we all have family that are unsaved. And when you find out, you know, not just a stranger. And look, there's great rejoicing when the stranger calls upon the Lord. But when you find out your own family member has trusted Christ. The joy of the converted. There is great joy, brethren, when it comes to soul winning. You know, I went soul winning with Sister Marella on Friday. Man, I'm losing track of time. And then on Saturday, I went with Brother Christian. Do you guys remember Christian? Christian came here from Melbourne. You know, he was kind of like a tall Romanian fella. Okay, he was here on a Wednesday and then on the Sunday service. And, you know, I told him, and basically, you know, Brother Christian's actually the reason why I got excited to go to Melbourne again is because I told him, you know what, during the week, before you go back to Melbourne, I'll take you out soul winning. I told him that. And I make these promises that I can't keep. Like, my heart's there, but I haven't thought about in my head about my schedule. And then I realized it's not going to work out. And then I was like, man, I've got to make it up to him now. So I already had planned the trip to Melbourne beforehand. It's like, all right, we're doing it, right? And so I was eager to get Brother Christian out. And anyway, I went out with him on the Saturday. And you know what? You know, the joy on his face, you know, to go soul winning door to door. In fact, the joy in the face of many of the brethren that were there. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And, you know, he'd share stories with me how he was able to give the gospel to his family and his friends, and I could see the joy. You know, he was able to give the gospel to his dad, and his dad, you know, before was completely works-based, and now he's like, you know, his father still goes to a works-based church. But when he was asked to pray, he prayed and he thanked Jesus, had the free gift of salvation, not by works, you know. You know, in prayer, he's kind of half preaching the gospel to the whole church. And, you know, I see the joy, the smiles on Brother Christian and others that are able to see their family saved. And there's great joy, brethren, when you see your family saved. Again, you know, it's just a, you know, and I say this and I mean it. You know, even if nobody got saved in Melbourne, even if there was zero salvations, there was joy. That's what I want to tell you. The fellowship, you know. I saw brothers excited and swapping phone numbers and I'll be at your church or let me know when you go and soul winning. You know, these kinds of conversations, that's what matters in the end. Right? Seeing the joy on the faces and the encouragement. You know, I'm going to be an encouragement, but I walked away being encouraged. Right? You know, I went trying to be a blessing, but I walked away being blessed. So it's wonderful about Christian fellowship, wonderful about the work that God has given us to go soul winning, preaching to the lost. Please turn with me to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse number 7. Isaiah 52, verse number 7. And we know verse 7 very well because it's repeated for us in Romans chapter 10 by the Apostle Paul about preaching the gospel. It says in Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful are the mountains, upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace." Brethren, that's what we're doing. We're publishing peace. Peace between God and man, right? "That bringeth good tidings of good." Good tidings of good. I mean, it's all good. "That publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Hey, we're publishing salvation, all right, when we're going and preaching the gospel. Again, look, we see in verse number 8, "The watchmen shall lift up their voice." Again, I guess the watchmen here are those that are publishing the salvation. "Lift up the voice, and with the voice together they shall sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." And brethren, I like that. "And they shall see eye to eye." You know, the goal of this church is the Great Commission. You know, we need to see eye to eye on this. You know, you don't say, "Pastor, look, soul winning is not for me." All right. But can you see, at least see eye to eye with us? Can you at least understand the importance of going out and preaching the gospel to the lost? Can you at least pray? Can you at least ask that God will bless those that are going door-to-door soul winning? You know, because if we're united for a cause, brethren, you know, there's going to be unity in our church. If we're united for our cause, there's going to be unity. You know, when we lose sight of the Great Commission, when we lose sight of the big picture, you know what happens to a church? We start looking inwardly. We start looking at everyone's little problems. You know, we start to focus on the conflicts that we've had at church because we've lost the vision. You know, we've lost the big picture. And then our eyes start to wander on the tiny things that just do not matter in life. What matters is salvation, is heaven, eternity. Okay, a lost soul converted, saved by Jesus Christ. That's what matters. We must see eye to eye with each other. We must understand this is the purpose and goal of New Life Baptist Church, the Great Commission, the great work that God has given us. Look at verse number 9. "Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem." That's kind of Melbourne, the waste places of Australia. Nah. Okay. But you know, again, you know what? There was rejoicing in the soul saved, rejoicing in the soul winning. "For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem." Look at verse number 10. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." I want you to notice there in verse number 10, it talks about all the nations. Hey, we're rejoicing in the salvation of our God. Hey, one day, it's going to be the joy of the nations. Souls that were saved. Again, the title for the sermon today, brethren, is "The Joy of Soul Winning." Now, right now, it's not the joy of the nations. Right now, it's not. Okay? You know, it's been good because I've not received a lot of like negative phone calls for a long time. I don't know if you guys are more friendly when you go out. I don't know what's going on. Okay? But I haven't had as many complaints. Why? Anyway. But, you know, generally speaking, going soul winning, it's not the joy of the nations. It's not the joy of the Sunshine Coast. Okay? But one day it will be. When Christ comes back and he sets up his kingdom, you know, all nations, you know, are going to see Christ. They're all going to worship Christ. Hey, they might not all get saved, but they're going to know who's boss. Okay? And Christ and his salvation will be the joy of the nations. The people that you see saved today are going to come back with you in the millennium. Hey, they're going to be rejoicing. They're going to be thankful that you had a tear in your eye, that you cared enough for them to be allowed the opportunity to hear the gospel and trust Christ for salvation. And they're going to come back in that millennium period. You know, people of all nations that have called upon Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a joy, a rejoicing in the nations. Please turn with me to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Zephaniah. Chapter 3, Zephaniah. Probably don't turn to Zephaniah very often, huh? But Zephaniah, chapter 3, please. And verse number 17. You know, I've looked at the joy of the soul winner, the joy of the converted, the joy of the nations, future to come. And now I want to show you Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse number 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. Let's look at this verse together. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 17. We do have youth group coming up this Friday, by the way. So in order to help us find Zephaniah, I think we'll have a sword drill a few times in Zephaniah and the other. Brody's like, oh no, I want points. Give me Psalms. No, it's going to be Zephaniah. Okay, sword drill coming up. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse number 17. Look at this. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. This is a very famous verse actually. It says, he will save. Look at this. He will rejoice over thee with joy. God will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I don't think it's very often that we read about God singing. Brethren, the next point that I have for you, soul winning, is the joy of God. It's the joy of God. You know, he rejoices when he sees a soul saved. All right? I mean, how much clearer can it be? He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Can you picture that? Can you picture when you go soul winning, you've put a smile on the face of God. And when someone gets saved, God is singing. Do you believe that? So the Bible tells us. It's amazing to think about that. You know, we think of we're singing to God. We're singing his praises. You know, generally sometimes people just sing because they're in a good mood. You know, Sebastian sings when he's having a shower. Must be in a good mood while he's in the shower there. Okay, well, God gets in a good mood when he sees a soul saved. And he starts singing. The rejoicing of our Lord. You know, I would love to get to heaven and for God to say, hey, you know the work that New Life Baptist Church did? The souls that got saved, you gave me a new song. You gave me some reasons to sing, New Life Baptist Church. You know, well done on the work that you've done. I'd love to hear that from God, wouldn't you? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear the songs that God would sing, you know, when a soul would be saved. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse number 10. Isaiah 53 and verse number 10. Isaiah 53, the very famous chapter on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 10. And probably the chapter that was being read by the Ethiopian eunuch as well. But Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says, have you ever thought about these words? It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise the Son. You ever thought about that? How does that work? You know, how does it please you, Lord? Now, how does this give you joy? That's what it means to please, right? To give happiness and joy. I mean, obviously, if you have the wrong impression here, you might think, you know, well, God might be a sadist here. You know, how could it please God to see his Son suffer, to be beaten and crucified and whipped and for all of man's sins to be put upon him? How does that please the Lord? But it does. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Look at this. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleases God. The pleasure of the Lord. And if you've ever wondered, what is this verse talking about? Well, again, think of Zephaniah. Think about the fact that when God would see his Son die for mankind, the reason it would please the Lord is because this would be the means of salvation. This would be the means of seeing lost sinners enter into the kingdom of God and join the family of God. So it makes sense that it would please God. Because we know that he sings when people are saved. He sings when people believe in his Son. And so obviously to get there, he would have to offer his only begotten Son, which of course would have brought him great grief. We know that. Okay, we know that he was, you know, when Christ spoke about being forsaken of the Father, obviously there was hurt, you know, there was pain that God went through. But at the same time, it pleased him. This would be the way of salvation. This would bring people into the family of God. And so, brethren, soul winning is the joy of God, the joy of God as well. And maybe sometimes we don't think about that, you know. I mean, as I'm preparing this sermon, I'm just thinking about, you know, when we go soul winning, who receives the joy? Who's excited about this great truth? You know, I often think about me. I'm getting the joy. Yeah, I am getting the joy. And then I think about the person that gets saved gets the joy. Yeah. And then we think about the future, and all nations are rejoicing about salvation. That's great. Then we think, well, God rejoices too. God sings when he sees a soul saved. He's pleased to know that people will be saved from hell by the sacrifice of his son. Turn with me in the New Testament to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And we are approaching Christmas, of course. Approaching Christmas, so probably good to think about these verses when Christ would come into this world. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And before someone says, oh, don't you know, Pastor, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Christ wasn't born in December 25th. As Brother Callum said, well, there's one chance in 365 days that he was born December 25th. Okay? But of course, it doesn't, you know, we're rejoicing that Christ came to this earth. That's the point. You know, one reason, I've got no problem with Christmas. Like, you know, there are some things that I don't get overly excited about when it comes to Christmas, because I know it's, you know, it's very much businesses making a profit, and, you know, I understand the commercialism of Christmas. But at least I'm just thankful that at least our nation once a year thinks about the birth of Christ. Even though that might not be priority number one for most people. But somewhere along the line, they've been reminded about the death. You know, and often when I go soul winning, I say to people, oh, you remember Easter and Christmas? You know, when Christmas, when Christ, oh, yeah. So, you know, just these little holidays, even though most of Australia kind of ignores the primary reason for it, which is Christ, at least it's something annually, twice annually, Christmas and Easter, that they're kind of reminded, something about Jesus, you know, that Jesus remains in their mind. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, this is the story, of course, of the shepherds, the proclamation of the angels to the shepherds that Jesus Christ will be born. And it says there in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Remember, we talked about, you know, those that have their beautiful feet, you know, and they're bringing the glad tidings. Well, these angels say, hey, look, we're bringing you good tidings of great joy. See, the angels are excited about it as well. Which shall be to all people. See, Jesus Christ came for all. Okay, none of this limited atonement Calvinist rubbish. Okay, to all people. This is this great joy. This good news is available to all. What is this great news? Verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the joy. Our Savior will be born in Bethlehem's manger. Verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, what are they praising about? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hey, they're rejoicing that God is bringing his goodwill toward men. The birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. The joy of soul winning. Hey, it is the joy of the angels as well. When they would think that the Savior would be born. Why would the Savior be born? To save. To save souls. The angels rejoice at the thought of the salvation of God. It's the joy of the angels. Brethren, the joy of the angels. It must be exciting in heaven when someone gets saved. It must be exciting. You know, God's singing, the angels are excited. It's the whole reason why Christ came to this earth, to be our Savior. So the joy of soul winning, it's even the joy of the angels. Salvation. Can you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. This point's a little different, but the next point that I have for you, brethren, is soul winning is the joy that overcomes heaviness. The joy that overcomes heaviness. And I already kind of explained it to you, okay? And look, and we all have problems. We all have trials, okay? You know, everybody in this church, you know, sometimes as a pastor, I get a bit more information, a little bit more preview information about certain things. And I tell you, honestly, every family is hurting. Everybody has problems. Sometimes we get caught up with our own little issues, and not everyone. Everyone's hurting. You know what? Down in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, everyone's hurting. Everyone's got pain. Everyone's got problems. Okay, we all go through heaviness. It's part of life. We can't get live life without issues and problems. But again, when you go out and you preach the gospel to a lost person, and you realize, when you compare your problems in light of someone being tormented day and night forever and ever in hell, all of a sudden your heaviness doesn't seem that major. It isn't. It really isn't. You know, and you think about, I know, even if my heaviness, even if my trials kill me, I'm going to be in heaven. I mean, that's exciting. I mean, how bad can problems be? You say, well, it's so bad, I'm going to lose my life over it. Woo! Because I can finally see Christ. You know, I truly have life. You know, I'm not battling sin anymore in this wicked flesh. I'm not having to deal with the problems of life anymore because I'm with Christ Jesus. It's the joy that overcomes heaviness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. See, we are all in heaviness. We all go through trials and problems. But notice it says there, for a season. Because life's not very long. It's a vapor, right? I'm in my 40s. I feel like I haven't even lived that long. But then I kind of look at my kids and I kind of think I have lived that long. And then I think if I double my age, I'll be in my 80s. And do I even want to be living that long? Because I know how my body's going to break down and things like that. And life goes so quick, doesn't it? It's just a season. And most problems aren't going to be lifelong. Most problems are for a period of time in your life. And then you resolve them. And then there's another problem. Okay, you resolve that problem, there's another problem. That's life, generally speaking. Okay, but look at verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. You've not seen Christ, you love him though. Okay, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable. The title for the sermon is The Joy of Soul Winning. I can't even speak about, I can't even put into words, really, how much joy God gives us. I can't even put into words how much joy soul winning gives us. I'm doing my best, but I really can't. It's joy unspeakable, okay, and full of glory. Look at this, verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith. This is like receiving the result of your faith or the end result of your faith. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Isn't that wonderful? Even in heaviness and trials and difficulties and problems. You know, when you think about salvation, the salvation of souls. You know, you realize, man, the problems I'm going through are just a season. You know, it's God's trying me. God's putting me through fire so I can come out better in the long run. You know, and that one day that I can be with Christ. What a great glory. We can't even speak about how much joy this gives us. And so I'm just sharing with you, you know, if you are troubled, if you feel the Lord is far from you, if you feel like I'm overwhelmed with problems and, you know, why God, why are you putting me through these things? You know what's going to help you? Come out soul winning. Come out as a silent partner, you know, and then when you see these people with no joy, no hope, no hope of eternity, then truly it puts into picture just how little suffering we truly go through, okay? In comparison to the joy that we receive, the salvation of our souls. Can you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Speaking about the return of Christ here. And the next thing I want to bring to your attention is that soul winning is the joy of eternal rewards. The joy of eternal rewards. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19, please. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Now, I want you to answer that question before we can bring the verse. You know, and look, you don't have to tell me, just within yourself. What is your joy? What is your hope? What is your crown of rejoicing? I ask you, like, what makes you the happiest in life? What is it? What is it? What makes you the happiest in life? You say, Pastor, it's watching my sporting team win the grand final. I don't know. Pastor, it's, and look, some of these things aren't, like, you know, one of my joys is my family. Yeah, a loving marriage, that gives me a lot of joy. You know, faithful children, that gives me a lot of joy. Faithful church gives me a lot of joy. There's a lot of things that give us joy, okay? But what is your number one joy? What is your number one joy? What is your crown of rejoicing? Because it says there, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul is saying to the Thessalonian church, he planted that church, he got them saved. These people that he got saved, he goes, you're my rejoicing. You're my joy at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there, but the crown of rejoicing. He's thinking about, of course, the eternal rewards. You know, Christ is coming to give crowns of rewards and treasures upon in heaven. And again, I don't know exactly what all these treasures are and how the economy in heaven works. I don't need to know. All I know is that we're going to hope for more crowns. We're going to hope for more treasure. You know, there's going to be some level of regret that we've not done more for Jesus Christ. But one of the things that he rejoices about the most at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he's going to see those that he won to Christ. Isn't that amazing? At the rapture. Even if you've passed away before the rapture, you know, we know that all people are going to get caught up. All believers are going to receive their new resurrected bodies. And you know what's going to happen when you look around? You're going to find the people that you won to the Lord. And you're going to be like, yes! In heaven, you know, I can only imagine, I don't know, I can't point you to a scripture here. I can only imagine as you enter into heaven, you know, there's going to be people coming up to you, thank you for giving me the gospel. Thank you for allowing yourself to be used by God to win my soul, to tell me the good news of salvation. Hey, that's going to give you a smile on your face. But then if you win those souls, and again, I know not everybody can go, I understand. And you know, I don't want you to be like, oh, but Pastor, you know, I've got health conditions and, you know, I've got little children and it's hard for me or whatever it is. But don't forget, we can still give the gospel to our neighbors, our family, our friends. On a plane ride, you don't even have to be officially soul winning. We're always officially soul winning, actually. A plane ride, whatever it is. Any opportunity that God gives you one-on-one, take it. The Uber driver, you take it. Okay? And I'm telling you, I want you to be rejoicing in heaven. You know, even if it's one soul, praise God for one soul. That's your crown of rejoicing that you've seen. You know, most Christians aren't going to win a single soul. That's why it gives me tears sometimes, just thinking about the lack of work by the vast majority of Christians. Hey, use your time that God has given you, you know, these great words of eternal life. Win some souls, and you too will be rejoicing at the coming of Jesus Christ when you look at those that you've led to Jesus. One more passage. Please go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse number 12. Psalm 51 and verse number 12. I hope I've encouraged you to get out soul winning, you know, and if you haven't gone for a while and you're not comfortable or you've never been, hey, come out as a silent partner, you know, hey, check with me. I know that Sundays are hard for some people. I'm usually available other days in the week. Hey, check with me, you know, if you're free, hey, we can go out soul winning together. But Psalm 51 verse 12. You see, sometimes the reason we don't go soul winning, I already kind of started with this, is that we've lost the joy of our salvation. We've taken it for granted. And I guarantee, I'm confident to say that every one of us at some point in our life, maybe multiple times, have taken our salvation for granted. It's like, well, I'm saved, I'm going to church, you know. And you kind of just forget how wonderful salvation truly is. You forget the joy. And, you know, I want you to have that joy restored. Just like David had his, you know, needed his joy restored in salvation. It says in Psalm 51 verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. so important that you have the joy of salvation in your heart. You say, why? Because then verse number 13 says this, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, David forgot the soul winning because he lost the joy of his own salvation. He went a long time, okay, against the Lord. Of course, this psalm is about his sin with Bathsheba. You know, he'd gone many, many months not being right with the Lord, and he lost the joy of his salvation. And he asked the Lord, Lord, can you give me that joy again? Please restore it unto me. I want to be excited like I was when I first got saved. And he says, once that joy, then I can get out there and teach transgressors your ways. What's God's way for salvation? I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus Christ. Okay? I am the way. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what? We need our joy restored. Going to Melbourne, energized. All right. But that joy is restored. Whatever way we want to explain it. That's true. I feel energized. I feel excited again. You know, about soul winning. You know, about other brothers being excited and, you know, being able to talk to them. And many of them now want to come up and visit our church. And, you know, and when they visit our church, that's our chance to try to convince them to stay. I know it's not easy for everybody moving city, moving town. But, you know, it is an opportunity, you know, that God gives us. So, you know, the title for the sermon was The Joy of Soul Winning. It is a lot of work. It is, you know, it's like giving birth. You know, it is tiring. You know, it's tiring mentally and spiritually as well. But, you know, there's great joy. There's great joy. And if you're not happy, you say, Pastor, I'm not very happy. I'm not a happy person. Then let me strongly encourage you. Ask Jesus Christ for the joy to return to your heart and come out soul winning with us. All right, let's pray.